This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. All praise belongs to Allah, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, the entirely merciful, the especially merciful. We praise Him, Azza wa Jal, the Lord of all worlds. We seek His assistance, we seek His help. We seek His forgiveness and we turn to Him in sincere tawbah, in sincere repentance. We seek His protection, we seek refuge in Allah from the evils within ourselves and the consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, none can misguide, and whoever He allows to be led astray, none can guide. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. I bear witness that there is no God, no deity worthy of worship other than Allah alone, without any partner, la sharika lah. And I bear witness that Muhammad salawat rabbi wa salamuhu alayhi is his servant and messenger. I begin by reminding myself and then all of you all gathered here for Salatul Jum'ah to adopt a life of taqwa. And that is, my dear brothers, my dear sisters, to instill in your lives the consciousness of your Maker, the consciousness of your Lord. And you must do this to secure victory and success in this world as well as the hereafter. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us all from the people of taqwa, and may He make us from the victorious and successful ones. My dear brothers and sisters, one of the most profound aspects of our deen, of Islam, is its emphasis on caring for one another. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam is reported to have said, hadith is recorded in the book of Imam al-Bukhari and Imam Muslim rahimahumallah. Every Muslim has five rights over another Muslim. Every Muslim, absorb the words, every Muslim has five rights over another Muslim. Number one, to return the greetings. In other words, try to understand. Every Muslim has five rights over you, rights that you must fulfill towards the other Muslim. Number one, to return the greeting. When a Muslim greets you, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, then it is a right to be fulfilled that you respond alaykum assalam or wa alaykum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Number one. Number two, to visit the sick. If your Muslim brother, your Muslim sister is ailing, then he or she has a right to be fulfilled. You must visit the sick. Number two, to accompany the janazah. To accompany the janazah, the funeral. Number four, to accept an invitation. You've been invited to accept the invitation. And number five, to respond to the one who sneezes. So someone sneezes, someone says Alhamdulillah, then you must respond saying Yarhamukallah. So five rights to be fulfilled. Today, inshallah ta'ala, we're going to be focusing on the duty and the privilege. It's not only a duty, it's a privilege as well, of visiting the sick. Iyadatul Mariyud, as known in the Arabic language. Subhanallah. When you go into the books of hadith, like the book of Imam al-Bukhari, Imam Muslim, Imam Abu Dawood, there's literally a chapter, kitab, in other words, kitab, Iyadatul Mariyud, the book or the chapter of visiting the sick. It is such a emphasized duty and privilege, like I highlighted. And in terms of the virtues, I can go on listing them, but due to the brevity of time, I'll stick to a narration or two. We have a hadith recorded in the book of Imam al-Tirmidhi, rahimahullah, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is reported to have said, when a Muslim visits a sick Muslim, the narration goes along the lines of these words, if he visits him in the morning, i.e. if he visits him at dawn, 70,000 angels pray for him until evening, until dusk. Pray for whom? Pray for the one who visited the sick. So if you visit a sick person at dawn, 70,000 angels pray for you until dusk. And if he visits him in the evening, so if you visit a sick person in the evening, again, the words of the messenger, 70,000 angels pray for him until the morning. And the messenger didn't end there. He went on to say, and he will have his share of fruits in Jannah, in paradise. My dear brothers and sisters, imagine 70,000 angels. You see, sometimes when you meet people, what do we tell people? When we know, oh, someone is perhaps, for example, a scholar, an imam. When you meet an individual of that nature, you say, make dua for me. Make dua for me, right? You say, make dua for me. When you know someone is perhaps going on a journey, umrah, hajj, you say, make dua for me. Make dua for me. At the end of the day, you're asking a mortal to make dua for you, a human being to make dua for you. It is established in the narrations, some of the Sahaba, they've done it. So there is precedence. But look at who is making dua for you in this hadith. One angel, two angels, 70,000 angels. And what is the description? What is the nature of angels? لا يعصون الله ما أمرهم ويفعلون ما يؤمرون. Angels, they do not disobey Allah. Human beings, we disobey, we drift, we make mistakes. No one is perfect. No one is perfect. Human beings, we make mistakes. But angels, they do not disobey Allah. And you are securing the dua of not one angel, not two, not five, not 10, not 100, not 1,000. 75,000 angels. Allahu Akbar. Such blessings. Another hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is reported, hadith is recorded in the book of Imam Ibn Majah rahimahullah. Whoever visits a sick person, an announcer, a caller from the heaven announces, oh so and so, you are blessed. Your walking is blessed. Let's say you had to go in your vehicle, then the movement in the vehicle is blessed. And you have prepared an abode for yourself in Jannah. You have prepared for yourself an abode in paradise. My dear brothers and sisters, the sick are surrounded by angels. In another hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is reported to have said, when a believer visits his sick brother, he walks in the mercy of Allah until he sits. When he sits, so you've gone to visit someone who is sick, you sit down now. When he sits, mercy envelops him. If he visits in the morning, 70,000 angels pray for him until evening. If he visits in the evening, 70,000 angels pray for him until morning. So as you can see, my dear brothers and sisters, this is not merely a visit. It is an act of ibadah. It is an act of worship, a spiritual act that draws, that attracts the mercy of Allah. It attracts angels closer to you, and it establishes and ensures for you reward in Al-Akhirah. Now, in the last few minutes that I have with you all, I want to touch on a few action items, a few etiquettes when it comes to visiting the sick. Now, these are practical ones. They're deduced from the Sunnah, from the practice of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Number one, your niyyah, your intention. Innamal a'malu bin niyyat. This is the beauty of our deen. Whatever you do, you see, it is based upon your intentions. It is based upon your intentions. So this visit, make sure that before you set out, before you embark, put your intention right. Why are you doing it? You're doing it to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This conscious act of yours purifies the ibadah, purifies the worship. You're doing it for Allah. You're not doing it for any other reason. Number two, greet the patient with salam. So you begin with the greeting of peace. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Number three, make sure that you only speak positive words. So offer words of strength, offer words of support, offer words of encouragement, offer words of optimism. The Prophet ﷺ is reported to have said, give glad tidings, do not frighten them, make things easy and do not make things difficult. You see, at times, you don't know the mindset of an individual in that situation. There are many a people who are strong, subhanAllah, you know. Sometimes from outside, when we look, we think that this person might be in doom and gloom. This person is in a valley. Why? Because he's been diagnosed with this sickness, that sickness. But when you sit down with them, that is something that I want to highlight. They strengthen your iman, Allahu Akbar. And you're blown away. You're sitting down with a patient and that patient is saying, I am happy with the decree of Allah. I have seen the help of Allah. I know that there is good in this for me. I know that this is going to be a means for my sins to be forgiven. Why? You've even heard of people saying, I look at this. Sometimes you say, oh, so and so is suffering. We use the word suffering. But when you go sit down with that patient, he says, this is a gift from Allah. Look at the mindset. This is a gift from Allah. Cancer is a gift from Allah. My kidneys have shut down. It is a gift from Allah. Whilst you are thinking that this person is in a crisis of faith. So check your iman first. But then obviously, at times, shaitan is around. And they may go through certain phases. And at those junctures, as believers, we must offer support. We must offer words of positivity, offer words of optimism. Number four, offer authentic du'as for the sick that have been taught to us by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. For example, you have the du'a where the Prophet tells us when you go into the presence of a sick individual, where you read, Adhibil ba'sa, Rabban nas, ishfi anta shafi, la shifa'a illa shifa'uk, shifa'an la yugadiru saqama. Adhib al-ba'sa, remove the harm, Rabban nas, O Lord of mankind. He is the one who created us. He is the one who decreed that this should happen. O Lord of mankind, remove the harm. Ishfi anta shafi, heal, for you are the healer. La shifa'a illa shifa'uk. There is no healing other than your healing, Ya Allah. Shifa'an la yugadiru saqama. Bless this person with a healing that leaves no trace of illness. This dua is recorded in the book of Imam al-Bukhari and Imam Muslim, rahimahumallah. Another dua that you can utter, la ba'sa tahur insha'Allah. Don't worry, tahur insha'Allah. This is going to be a means of purification for you. Your sins are going to be forgiven. Your ranks are going to be elevated. Your palaces in Jannah are being built. Hadith is recorded in the book of Imam al-Bukhari. You know of the hadith where the Prophet tells us that even a thorn pricking a believer, sins are forgiven. Then just imagine when an individual is going through excruciating pain. Do you not think that sins are being forgiven? Do you not think that that person's ranks are going to be raised? Action item number five. Make sure you choose appropriate timings when you go to visit the sick. Be mindful of the patient's rest. Be mindful of the patient's privacy. Because at times, due to treatment, due to certain machinery that have been fixed onto them, they may not always be dressed in a manner where they can receive guests. So be mindful, respect their privacy, respect their timings, avoid visiting during meal times, avoid visiting during late hours unless you have been invited by the patient. Keep your visits short. Next action item. Lengthy visits may tire the patient. Crowded visits may be harmful for the patient. So keep the visits short and make sure that you go with limited number of people now. MashaAllah, if Allah has blessed you with many children, now don't go and land in the patient's house with 15 of your children now, where now you're burdened the patient one, the sick one, to be hospitable to you, to prepare food for you, and so on and so forth. And then the noise and all of these things can disturb the individual. Try and bring a small gift if possible. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is reported to have said, exchange gifts, give gifts to one another and you will love one another. Hadith is recorded in the book of Imam at-Tirmidhi rahimahullah. And make sure you also make dua before leaving. The Prophet ﷺ taught us, As'alullah al-azim, Rabb al-arsh al-azim an yashfiak. You make the dua, O Allah, I ask Allah the Almighty, the Lord of the mighty throne, to cure you, to give you shifa, to give you healing. Hadith is recorded in the book of Imam Abu Dawood, rahimahullah. My dear brothers and sisters, through these visits, there are many lessons for us. Number one being gratitude for our own health and well-being. Allah says in the Quran, وَإِن تَعُدُّ نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْسُوهَا. If you were to try and enumerate the blessings of Allah, you would never be able to do so. This morning, my dear brother, my dear sister, this afternoon or before Jum'ah, when coming to the masjid, if you went to the washroom, if you went to the toilet, and if you relieved yourself comfortably, experiencing ease and relief after you have relieved yourself, consider yourself extremely fortunate, extremely blessed. Go sit down with someone whose kidneys are failing and you will realize the value of your kidneys that are functioning right now as I speak, as you listen within your bodies. Are you paying for it? But if these shut down, you have to hook yourself up to a machine. A machine, you have to undergo dialysis. Then you realize, how many blessings have I taken for granted? If you can breathe, take a deep breath without feeling excruciating pain, without feeling a band tightening around your lungs, consider yourself blessed. Consider yourself fortunate. There are people who can't climb a short flight of stairs that they start huffing and panting because of conditions that they are undergoing. Consider yourself blessed. Consider yourself fortunate. And render gratitude. Don't be ungrateful. Don't be ungrateful lest Allah tests you through that blessing. And then it will be too late. Reflect on the fact that these sicknesses are a means of purification, like I highlighted earlier on. Don't look at them negatively when you see someone ill. Make dua for them. Reflect on the fact that this is a means of purification for them. And build empathy, build reliance on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As you see a person in illness, you reflect and remind yourself of tawakkul and relying on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So my dear brothers and sisters, as we reflect on the immense blessings and rewards that have been promised for visiting the sick, I want to conclude by mentioning an incredible example, a powerful example, exemplified to us by Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu anhu, the closest companion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once asked the gathering, who amongst you is fasting today? Abu Bakr radiyallahu anhu said, Ya Rasulullah, I am. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked, who amongst you followed a janazah today? Abu Bakr radiyallahu anhu said, Ya Rasulullah, I did. Then the Prophet said, who amongst you served food to the needy, fed the needy, gave charity to the needy? Abu Bakr radiyallahu anhu said, I did. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, who amongst you has visited the sick today? Abu Bakr radiyallahu anhu, he responds saying, Ya Rasulullah, I did. Then the Prophet said, anyone in whom these good deeds are all combined will certainly enter Jannah, enter paradise. May Allah make us from the people of Jannah. Ameen. So therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, fast when you can. Outside the month of Ramadan, fast when you can. Attend funeral prayers, the janazah, feed the hungry, and visit the sick, bringing comfort and joy to their hearts, and thereby earning blessings, earning rewards, and earning the prayers of angels. With that I conclude. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us and all those who are sick complete healing, complete shifa, a healing that leaves no illness behind. Ya Allah, grant complete healing to those undergoing chemotherapy and cancer treatments, and make every session a means of recovery and strength. Ya Allah, make the journey of those receiving these treatments a source of purification for their sins. Ya Allah, grant ease to those battling cancer. Ya Allah, grant ease to those facing kidney renal failure and undergoing dialysis. Ya Allah, grant ease to those navigating the challenges of autoimmune diseases, certain syndromes where the body's immune system turns against itself. Ya Allah, grant ease to those living with diabetes and managing its complications. Ya Allah, grant ease to those coping with mental health conditions. Ya Allah, grant ease to those fighting heart disease, to those recovering from strokes, to those fighting neurological conditions. Ya Allah, grant ease to those with blood disorders. Ya Allah, surround the sick with your divine mercy, easing their pain and granting them hope in your power to heal. Ya Allah, remove pain and suffering from all those who are afflicted and grant them ease and relief. Ya Allah, protect us from illness and grant us good health in our bodies, in our hearts, in our minds and in our souls. Ya Allah, guide the hands and hearts of the doctors treating the sick. Ya Allah, protect us from those in the medical field who seek to exploit their patients for financial gain. Purify their intentions, Ya Allah, and make them act only in your name. Ya Allah, surround the sick with your angels and envelop them in your mercy and in your care. Ya Allah, make us amongst those who visit the sick for your sake and earn the prayers of angels and the rewards of Jannah. And just as how you united us here in this masjid, unite us in the gardens of Jannah, in the companionship of our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, and bless us all to drink at the Haud, at the fountain, the sweet waters through the soft and blessed hands of Muhammad. Salawatu Rabbi wa salamuhu alayhi. Ameen, ameen, wa akhir da'wa, yani alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.